Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community of Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brooke. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brooke, founder of Homeopathy World Community, taking time out in this lovely Sunday to begin with some inspiration, and I'm going to do a brain puzzler and to talk about current events. Finally, we're going to read Dr. Samuel Hahnemann's Organon of Medicine. Today is September 19th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 95. Thank you for joining me. I want to wish everyone a healthy, happy, peaceful, wealthy, and successful year. This show, the shows have been had 6,500 listens already since May 2010. So we are really moving along. The inspirational quote comes from Co-Creator Radio on Twitter. And Mary is quoting St. Augustine. She says, patience is the companion of wisdom. It's really, really short. And then I would like to also read a haiku, because homeopathy, on Twitter, you can get to just about anything, and many, many links, and people do haikus there. So this one is tweeted by Finding Brand, and it is a haiku by Peter S. Quinn that says, "Star blossom yellow, still full in its summer glow, soon comes winter's snow." So here, it sounds like he's moving straight from summer into winter without any autumn, but hopefully the air will be cooling down as the season moves into, it's actually going to move into this hurricane season, but hopefully we will see some beautiful weather out there. Now for the brain puzzler. You know, Alzheimer's is at an all-time high, and the population of the baby boomers is getting older. We don't really have any, at least regular medicine doesn't have any way to deal with loss of memory and the brain dysfunction in Alzheimer's. But we do know that if you test your brain and give it new activities and create new pathways, you can improve the functioning. Actually, there was just recently a report saying that this does help to delay the onset of Alzheimer's symptoms, but once it does set in, they're at the same place as those people who had a slow decline over numerous years. So I think it's worth keeping our brain toned up. And here it goes. It doesn't hurt to take a look at yourself from time to time, and this little brain test is going to help. Here it is. During a visit to a mental asylum, a visitor asked the director what the criteria is that defines if a patient should be institutionalized. So now you're going to find out if you should be institutionalized. Well, said the director, we fill up a bathtub and then we offer a teaspoon, a teacup, and a bucket to the patient and ask the patient to empty the bathtub. Here's your test. 1, would you use a spoon? 2, would you use the teacup? 3, would you use the bucket? Oh, I understand, said the visitor. A normal person would choose the bucket, as it is larger than a spoon and the teacup. No, answered the director, and continues, you should be institutionalized. Now, your question, your thought process is what's going on, what is the correct answer, and why should the director have this response? I'm going to tell you the answer to that puzzler at the end of the show. So you can think about that bathtub. Now for current events. The September newsletter for HWC was mailed out. Check your junk mailbox, your inbox, or your spam box. And you can also see this new newsletter version online, clicking on the front page of HWC. Please support HWC sponsors. And let me remind you to post your cured cases for Gary Weaver's special competition. If you know of anyone who wants to advertise their events, products, books, or services, tell them to contact me. Did you hear that the FDA did not approve the latest weight loss drugs? It's on the New York Times. The advisors to the Food and Drug Administration voted 9-5 that the potential benefits of this drug called lorcaserin and developed by Arena Pharmaceuticals did not outweigh the risks. There in the article, it says that there is an urgent need for new diet drugs because one-third of American adults are obese and one-third are overweight. Oh, that adds up to a lot. And I wonder what the statistics are around the world for obesity. And we know that this is linked to so many other chronic illnesses. There is hope that drugs that help people lose weight would also mitigate some of these health problems, such as obesity, the diabetes, and the heart disease, and the cancer, which is also at epidemic rates today. It seems that the FDA has become safety conscious in the area of the weight loss drugs, since these drugs could potentially be taken for many, many years by millions of people, and because of the highly publicized health concerns associated with some previously popular prescription drugs like Meridia and the fen-phen combination, which damaged heart valves. So we're going to see how all this stuff links up to homeopathy and what Hahnemann has to say about taking alternative, I wouldn't say alternative, I should say allopathic drugs and all the side effects which we know are effects. For instance, the lorcaserin mimics the effect of the brain chemical serotonin and has an effect on suppressing appetite. Its mechanism of action is similar to that of the fenfluramine, the part of the fen-phen regimen that was pulled from the market. Well, I think it's wonderful that the FDA is being cautious, taking precautions about the welfare of those millions of people who may be taking drugs. And it could be that all of us freedom fighters out there, all of those people who are talking about the risks, must be getting the message. And keep it up. Also, Dr. Gary Weaver has posted on HWC a shocking report from the National Coalition of Organized Women that presented data on two different sources demonstrating that the 2009 and the 2010, the mixed or the vaccinations from those periods in time for the H1N1 vaccine contributed to an estimated 1,588 miscarriages and stillbirths. And that's not all of the ones that reported it. The estimates could go as high as 3,587 cases. And now the National Coalition of Organized Women also highlights the disturbing fact that the CDC failed to inform their vaccine providers of the incoming data of the reports of suspected H1N1 vaccine-related fetal demise. And this organization collected the data from pregnant women ages 17 through 45 years old, and that occurred after they were administered the 2009 H1N1 flu vaccine. And remember that the 2010-2011 vaccine contains all of these older H1N1 disease matter in it. So we need to take precautions here in the vaccination and immunization areas, just like the FDA is being cautious about the weight loss drugs. Also, the raw data that if you want to look it up for the H1N1 is available on the Vaccine Adverse Effect Reporting System website. Going on about, there's an ongoing debate about clinical trials, and that is reported on the New York Times, and also it says that controlled trials have for decades been considered essential for proving a drug's value before it can go to market. But the continuing trial of the melanoma drug, and it's called PLX4032, has ignited an anguished debate among oncologists about whether a controlled trial that measures a drug's impact on extending life is still the best method for evaluating hundreds of genetically targeted cancer drugs being developed. Defenders of controlled trials say they are crucial in determining whether a drug really does extend life more than competing treatments. Without the hard proof, they say, that the trials can provide, doctors are left to prescribe unsubstantiated hope, and an overstretched healthcare system is left to pay for it. In melanoma in particular, no drug that looked promising in earlier trials has ever turned out to prolong lives. The PLX4032 drug shrinks tumors in the right patients for a limited time. But would those who took it live longer? No one knew for sure. So here, these drugs, as Hahnemann has stated in previous aphorisms, they're palliative. They may work for a short, limited period of time, but then whatever happens, the cancer is going to come back with a vengeance, or whatever illness it is, it's going to come back pretty, pretty strong. Okay, Marilyn Friedman has sent me a very important message. She told me that the National Health Service Hospital in the UK is dropping the word homeopathy from its title to better reflect its work. The Royal London Homeopathic Hospital will now be called the Royal London Hospital for Integrated Medicine. Senior staff recommended the change to better reflect the hospital's methods, which integrate complementary and conventional medicine following controversy over homeopathy, which MPs said last year should no longer be funded by the NHS. The Commons Science and Technology Committee said there was no evidence homeopathy was any more effective than placebo, the same as taking a sugar or dummy pill or believing it works. And we know, as homeopaths, as researchers, as scientists, as creative thinkers, and artists in skill in what we do, that it is not purely placebo. We know that through hundreds of years of listening and watching and observing actual cases, that there is real effect, and it is not by placebo. Not only does it work for humans, it works for animals, and we don't have to do clinical trials using the sick people at all the times. We do provings on well people, and we don't have to go through millions of dollars worth of trials to get a drug that works. We know it works when we see it, and we test it in this way of provings. Also, let's see. So you know that there is quite a bit of a bias from the Common Science and Technology Committee. Hopefully, we can turn that around. But the good part about having the hospital's name changed is that the Royal London, which is part of the University College London Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, introduced acupuncture, herbal medicine, and other complementary therapies. Some 18% of the patients there are treated with homeopathy exclusively. Another 53% receive no homeopathy, and the remainder are given a mixture of treatment. So I know that Hanuman would not be thrilled to hear this news, because in today's aphorism, we're going to read what he says about using other kinds of treatments. Okay, on HWC, I'm not going to have any time for the Organon. Let's see. What can we say really quickly about HWC news? First, Porni Sudhakar has written a fabulous case about ganglion. It's very thorough, and she's put a differentiation there between, sometimes it gets confused with a lipoma. Also, Kavi has posted, and it's on the front page, the series of videos by Dr. John Reagan Virapen, who talks about drug greed. He was a former Eli Lilly CEO, and he's like a whistleblower. And there's also included with that a radio show. So I'm just going to give you that listing. Also, we want to thank Dr. Dushyant for starting a new group on HWC called Articles from Old Journals, and we'll be looking forward to those posts. Dr. Amir Salim has written a shout out to the community. Please give us some information if you know anything about the allergic inflammatory condition of the eyes, if anyone has any cured cases about this, because there is a large incidence of this condition in Pakistan right now. I'm wondering if it's at all related to the floods, but they have eyes that are painful, red and burning, and they're also swelling. So take a look at that. And now we're going to go ahead into our reading. We are up to aphorism number 76. And I thank everyone for your patience in listening to all of the news before we get to our reading. Only for natural diseases has the beneficent deity granted us in homeopathy the means of affording relief. But those devastations and maimings of the human organism exteriorly and interiorly, affected by years frequently of the unsparing exercise of a false art with its hurtful drugs and treatments, must be remedied by the vital force itself, appropriate aid being given for the eradication of any chronic miasm that may happen to be lurking in the background, if it has not already been too much weakened by such mischievous acts, and can devote several years to this huge operation undisturbed, a human healing art for the restoration to the normal state of those innumerable abnormal conditions so often produced by the allopathic non-healing art. There is none and cannot be. So it's kind of sounding hopeless in terms of the state of the human condition once it has been weakened by continuous, frequent, yearly doses of allopathic medicine, which we know needs to be more frequent and stronger. And if one is making a side effect, then you have to take another one for another side effect, and people are taking more and more drugs for these diseases, which could perhaps have been remedied through the use of homeopathy, a similar remedy. And he says that it must be remedied by the vital force itself. So not something that's imposed and additional, and he calls them hurtful treatments. He's kind of harsh on the allopaths here in aphorism number 76. Let's see. We have a visitor. We have Marilyn has called in also, and I was going to go ahead and read the footnote to aphorism number 76 that we're reading. And Marilyn, you are I've let you call in so I can hear you, and you can probably hear me on the line.
I can hear you. Good morning.
Very good. Good morning. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, it may be nighttime in other parts of the world if those are people are listening live. So I'm going to go ahead and read the footnote to this aphorism. If the patient at length succumbs, the practitioner of such a treatment is in the habit of pointing out to the sorrowing relatives at the post-mortem examination these internal organic disfigurements which are due to his pseudo-art, but which he artfully maintains to be the original incurable disease. And it says in parentheses, see my book, Die Allopathie im Wort der Warnung an Kranke jeder Art, Leipzig bei Baumgarten. Oh, translated in lesser writings. Those deceitful records, the illustrated works on pathological anatomy, exhibit the products of such lamentable bungling. Deceased people from the country and those from the poor of cities who have died without such bungling with hurtful measures are not opened up through pathological anatomy as a rule. Well, it sounds like that they don't do the, what's it called when you open them up at the end, the post-mortem examination. Such corruption and deformities would not be found in their corpses. From this fact can be judged the value of the evidence drawn from these beautiful illustrations, as well as the honesty of these authors and bookmakers. So there you have it. He says that after a person's dead, they open them up and they show the family members that there were all of these diseases and disfigurements within the body, and that's what killed them, not the drugs that they were taking. And do you think that he's saying to us there is another reason that there were these disfigurements, Marilyn?
Well, he's saying it's allopathic treatment, right? That the reason.
Well, I mean, if a person had cancer in their body or something wrong with their liver or their lungs, is it due to the allopathic treatments or is it due to the natural disease? That's kind of what. Mm-hmm.
Well, the
go ahead.
Sorry, the aphorism is talking about, right, that, you know, here where there's, you know, the natural diseases through allopathic care, right, they're just, people are getting ruined. So, you know, he says that the life force itself is the only thing that's going to be able to reverse, if it can, the treatment. Am I on the
mm-hmm.
right? Isn't that what we're talking about?
That is. That's aphorism number 76.
So when there's an autopsy and they say, well, look at all the diseases that this person has, this is the reason they died, it's not necessarily so.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. Well, I wouldn't attribute it all to the allopathic medicine, because if somebody has a cancer, that's going to be growing there. And actually, men have prostate cancer that's growing there, and it's very natural for, I don't know, very high percentage in the 90th percentile of men in their aging years to have it. But it's benign. It's just going to be there, and it's not going to affect anything. But we start to meddle. We start to test PSA or this or that. And, I mean, if a person's not having any symptoms, and once we start to meddle with the treatments, then we cause dysfunction of many of the organs in that region, and there is a faster demise of the individual in many cases.
Right, because people can live with things like cancer for 20, 30 years. They don't even know they have it.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that's what they say, that by the time you can actually feel and palpate a tumor, it's already been growing there for 10 years. So, but the question I'm asking is, in this aphorism and the footnote, we only have a few minutes left here. It seems like he's implying all of the disease is due to the allopathic treatment, which I hope he's not implying that. I think he's just saying, I'm hoping he's implying that it's just getting so such and such a weakened condition of the individual that he brings us to a place of hopelessness, that there is no way that homeopathy now can revitalize the vital force, can improve the condition.
Well, you know, what he's saying, I'm reading, of course, from the O'Reilly Organon, which is a little different in terms of wording than what you have. And I think that what he's saying here is that after years of, you know, forced debilitation by means of false art, which is, you know, the allopathic medicine and the internal and external botchings and crippling of the human organism by this harmful medicine, that's what this aphorism implies, right? That it's after years of botching. Now, the other thing that I wanted to say was Hahnemann wrote this aphorism, and since his time, we also have tissue salts, the Schüssler tissue salts, that are nutritive. And so they can be used. Where homeopathy can't be used, let's say, if the system's very weak and it just, whatever you try homeopathically is not going to work, there is tissue salts, which is homeopathic and can help nourish the cells. So there is that to be used. And also gemotherapy, which was developed about 50 years ago by homeopaths, is also nutritive and, drainage. So there are other things that we can use to help.
So those are kind of, I would call them palliative care from other alternative methods that can be used to support the individual, but they would not be strictly classical homeopathic. And, he's saying this, often produced by the allopathic non-healing art. And I wonder if he was living today and he saw what was going on, if he would approve of all of the other supportive means that we have at our disposal. And people are finding more and more of them that are, nutritive in that way. So we only have 1 minute left, and I thank you for calling in today and talking with me. I wanted to tell everyone the solution to the puzzle, the brain teaser, what you would use to empty the bathtub. Would it be a spoon, a teacup, or a bucket? Okay, and the answer is that a normal person would pull the plug out of the bottom of the tub. And I guess what this implies is you have to have creative thinking out of the box. You can't just take the set answers that are given to you. You have to use your thinking brain and answer the puzzle, answer the brain questions with more logic than what is given to you. Question what is provided and find the best answer. So I think we've covered aphorism number 76, and I thank everyone for listening. We're going to end the show and see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopath Debbie Brooke on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.